Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What does the company running Family Handyman, People Are Awesome, and other TV channels have up their 2024 sleeves? Trusted media brand Senior Vice President Jill Goldfarb details when she joins me next. CES 2024, the annual Las Vegas-based showplace for consumer technology, begins Monday. Learn what TV developments may debut there later this hour from popular media and tech commentator Shelley Palmer. Fast Channels Television was the opening subject of our first 2024 episode Tuesday afternoon. Our second hour today opens with Hip Hop TV, the latest new network to do business with Fast Channels TV. And we'll speak to Chief Operating Officer Talad Mabob. One of this past holiday season's most unique original movies was Kangaroo Kids. It didn't premiere on broadcast or cable television or on a major content service. Independent Ventures Sunstream was the carrier. And our final half-hour spotlight, Sun President Garrett Sutton and Kangaroo Director Farai Richmond. Also ahead, our classic trivia question and Remembering David Soul. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening hour is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. 39 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Sun is starting to set as we get underway here with our third and final episode of the first 24-week episode of the program All About TV's Current and Future. Great to have you with us wherever you're listening to us, and we invite you to be part of the program. We have a big two-hour show for you, guests every hour, and because of it, like we did with our opening 2024 episode on Tuesday, we will have one commercial break each hour, and it will be near the bottom of the hour. So it'll give you more time to be with our guests and more time to be part of the program. How do you do it? You pick up the phone and you dial in. When you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or Tuner Radio. And you can also be involved with our chat room, SimonApple04. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we will get to our first guest, Jill Goldfarb from Trusted Media Brands, will join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Popular TV actor David Soul, well known for playing Hutch on the 1970s police drama Starsky & Hutch, has passed away at the age of 80. The cause of his death, which happened yesterday and was not made public until early this afternoon, was not released. Starsky & Hutch, one of TV's first buddy cop scripted series, ran on ABC from 1975 to 1979. Paul Michael Glazer played Starsky. The show was created by William Blinn, who won an Emmy Award several years earlier for Brian Song, and executive produced by Aaron Spelling and Leonard Goldberg. Other series Soul starred or co-starred included Here Come the Brides, The Yellow Rose, Owen Marshall Counsel at Law, The Final Season, and the 1980s Casablanca prequel. He later acted in several miniseries and made-for-TV movies and directed episodes of Miami Vice and Crime Story in the 1980s. Soul also had a top-selling song hit with Don't Give Up on Us, in 1977. Once again, David Soul, dead at the age of 80. Yesterday was the situation happening, and the news of his passing came a few hours ago this afternoon. And now, quickies. Season 3 of The White Lotus will start filming next month in Thailand. Cast includes Leslie Bibb, Michelle Monaghan, and Parker Posey. The series, of course, will be on HBO as well as on Max. American-born Chinese, Disney Plus adaptation of the popular graphic novel, is not returning for a second season there. An effort to land a new outlet for the series underway. You can catch our interview with the creators of American-born Chinese from last spring at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and on our web and podcast sites. Samuel L. Jackson has a new miniseries TV gig this afternoon. He'll play criminal Frank Moten in Peacock's upcoming docudrama, Fight Night, The $1 Million Heist, with Kevin Hart starring and executive producing alongside Will Packer. And Arcane, the recent Emmy winner for Outstanding Animated Program, will get a second season on Netflix launch this November. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us from Los Angeles, the Senior Vice President of Trusted Media Brands, the folks behind such services as Fail Away, People Are Awesome, and Family Handyman, Jill Goldfarb. Jill, wonderful new year to you. Thanks for coming on.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me.
And any thoughts you want to add about the passing of David Soul before we go beyond that?
No, just very sad news. I shouldn't date myself, but I am a Starsky and Hutch fan, and very sad to hear the news today.
No. And we should point out, too, that David also was in a bunch of very good movies, including Magnum Force, where he played one of the bikers, one of the villains opposite Clint Eastwood.
Good memory, yeah. He very talented.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He
both
be
as
missed.
An actor and, we should say, as a singer-songwriter, too, and director.
Absolutely.
So, Jill, here we are in 2024. Where is your company, Trusted Media Brands, at?
So I oversee our streaming TV services, which includes everything on FAST and our apps. We have five FAST channels now, as you mentioned, At Home with Family Handyman, which I know you talked with Cameron Salas, our head of business, last year. We have People Are Awesome, Fail Army, The Pet Collective, and Weather Spy. I think I got all five of those in. And so, as you know, FAST is really taken off in the last couple of years since the pandemic. It's a young business, but doing really well and continuing to grow.
And what's been most amazing, Jill, about this FAST, Free Export Television, for the folks who want to know what the acronym is that we are seeing a lot of action with channels that are spotlighting original programming, whether it is made for the medium or, in your case, for a number of your networks, user-generated. It's not, you know, the all Murder, She Wrote channel, the all Seinfeld, the Columbo, or Bewitched channel. It is actual new services with original content.
That's true. And I think what's interesting about our channels that people may not realize, yes, our roots for sure are, especially with our Fail Army and Pet Collective and People Are Awesome, our old Chicken Media brands, our roots are definitely in UGC and in social. But as we've become FAST channels, we've evolved all of our programming, and everything is made specifically for a linear TV viewing experience. Both myself and my team come from cable and broadcast, and we've brought that knowledge, and we try and combine it and bring the best of both worlds. I also know that you've had some of our production team on, and you know how talented they are. We also produce externally for channels like A&E and Neighborhood Wars is one of ours. So we bring all that great stuff and wrap it up into original programming for FAST.
In fact, last year we had the producer of a show on Fail Away, which one more unique example of original programming that you have, where you combine user-generated content with puppetry.
Right. Oh, you had Wampum Co on, and, yeah, you had Dee and Joven on. Yeah, it was a really fun show. Audiences loved it. We have the ability to bring, to your point, bring both, and our fans, it's done really well, growing very quickly.
Is that coming back for a second season this year?
We'll know in a few short weeks. We're making all those decisions right now. So looking forward to it. But we have a lot of great programming coming for Fail Army. We just launched a show called 50 versus 50, looking at your top favorite 50 videos in 50 seconds as well. We have a new show called The Fail Cup coming soon and some other great things for Fail Army. Pet Collective, we have a show called Paws versus Claws, watching how cats and dogs go head-to-head in various contests. And then Animals Undercover. I think we all wonder what our pets are doing when we're not at home, and so this will take a look at the mysterious worlds of animals. So excited for those as well. And then you mentioned At Home. At Home with Family Handyman was our most recent launch. We launched about a year ago. We just launched on Samsung TV Plus back in September. We are on, I think when Cameron was there, we were on Zumo. It is also on the Roku channel. It is on Sling TV, Plex, Fubo, and coming soon to more platforms. At Home with Family Handyman is really an exciting channel for us. It's based on the Family Handyman website and magazine, which is about 70 years old, and there's so much knowledge there. And it's very engaged community where we get a lot of our ideas to bring to our TV channels and our FAST channels. And so it's a mix of our originally produced content, but we also bring some fan favorites. We have a show featuring Scott McGillivray and his Income property that's launching January 15th, so super excited. It's an exclusive premiere to FAST, and it's the only place you're going to find the series for the next year. So really excited about that.
You're hearing Jill Gotharb. She is the Senior Vice President of Trusted Media Brands, which is a collection of channels and brands, channels available on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour, and we're just getting started with a two-hour edition to wrap up your opening week of 2024 on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Rapp, I'm with you live from New York. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have three more episodes for you next week, and on our first one on Monday, we will have the creators and showrunners of Hulu's first original scripted series of the year, Deaths and Other Details, starring Mandy Patinkin as a Hercule Poirot kind of detective trying to solve a murder mystery aboard an ocean liner. And that's not all. We'll have Mike Weiss and Heidi Cole McAdams. They're the creators and showrunners. They'll be our lead guests. Plus, 2 years ago, we introduced you to a series creator named Dan Merchant. He was doing a show on Pure Flix, owned at Sony at the time, a channel featuring original faith, family values, aspirational, inspirational programming. He was doing a comedy with Dave Coulet of Full House fame called Live Plus Local about the hijinks of the Christian radio station. Well, since he was on the program and since that series went on, he went on to do another series about a hospice nurse called Going Home, starring Cynthia Geary. You may remember her from the 1990s popular CBS series Northern Exposure. She was nominated, I believe, for two Emmy Awards for her role. Well, tonight, Going Home is back on what is now Great American Pure Flix. And Dan will be back on Monday's show to talk about how he is doing with season two of Going Home, which, by the way, has a lot of very exciting guest stars, including people like Karen Allen from the Indiana Jones movies and Gloria Rubin from ER, and many other very familiar names from film and television. So we'll get to that. Plus, we will have a recap of the TV winners of the Golden Globe Awards Sunday night on CBS, and we'll have the latest news from CES 2024, where some of the smart TV set and device makers are expected to make some interesting announcements about new TV features, including maybe interactive TV services that they're going to be launching this year. That's all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. One of your other channels, as I mentioned, is People Are Awesome, which I understand deals with unique people doing the extraordinary. Now, for a channel like that, which is, I believe, user-generated content, how do you determine what content gets on?
Sure. Yeah, People Are Awesome is one of our favorite channels. Very inspiring. And to your point, it shines a spotlight on ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I think one of the things that had caught you your eye is our annual special of the top 100 videos of 2023. This has become an annual event for us, and our editorial team, both on People Are Awesome. We also have a version on Fail Army and on Pet Collective, again, a fan favorite that runs at the end of every year. So it's a collection of the top videos across the last year, and it's a mix. So we start off, it's a mix of science and a mix of editorial judgment. Our editorial team starts with performance metrics and looks for the top videos, and then they work on curating what they think is going to be the best offering for the viewers. And it's a
now
mix
you
of, you know, different... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jill.
And so they, you know, they work on doing give the viewers a mix of everything that's happened over the last year, and a mix of a lot of People Are Awesome works around sports and athletic talent, and so they try and give a mix of various sports and people. So it's really a fun mix.
On that service, what do viewers respond most to? What kind of situations do they that you find from the feedback is like, this really hits home with me?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's a mix of what I'll call inspirational and relatable, but I think people really turn in to see the inspiration and learn what they can achieve. So I think the clips of people paragliding or doing amazing things on skateboards or surfing or running. Even if it just gives people, it's very inspirational and shows people what they can do if they put their minds to it. And that's what people really keep coming back for.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do a special like the top moments of last year on People Are Awesome, or you're going to be doing this countdown show or type show on Fail Away, how do you determine who's like number one, number two, number three, and in the case of the new show on Fail Away, like number 40, like 50, 49, et cetera?
Yeah, again, it's a mix of science and editorial curation. Our editorial team start with performance metrics and see what viewers have responded to across all of our platforms, whether it's website or social. Or I think what's neat about our channels in general, whether it's Fail Army or Pet Collective, People Are Awesome, At Home with Family Handyman, is that we have live communities. We're a company of brands and a company of communities, and we have a lot of engagement. And have the ability to have conversations with our viewers that we can then bring to our FAST and TV channels. So we know what everybody likes, and then we can create those shows on our FAST platforms. So they're kind of living, breathing things in that sense. We're not just, you mentioned before, things like Murder, She Wrote, which are great shows, but we're able to offer original programming and trends of the moment because we're having these conversations with our viewers.
Yeah. When you have a network like Fail Army or a network like the Pet Collective, do you hear from organizations about the opportunity to outreach with them so that you get more exposure for these services?
I'm sorry, what kind of organizations?
Let's say with Pet Collective, like ASPCA or AKA, which now is doing various dog and cat races that you sometimes are now seeing on ESPN or ABC or other dog challenges, that kind of thing,
Absolutely. We did a show, it's been a year ago now, at the end of last year, where we went to various shelters and showed how people how to adopt dogs and how to make sure they were healthy and bring them into your homes. So we do a lot of reach out. We have a lot of different people reaching out. We've talked to various of the, to your point, the dog training channels over the years and bring stuff in. So, yes, we do a lot of different, just depending on the channel, work with a lot of different sources.
You mentioned that you also do Neighborhood Wars for A&E, and that certainly has become a phenomenon on that service. Why do you think it has?
You know, I think you go back to the relatable. I've been working in TV for a long time, and I think people watch for two reasons. It's either relatability or inspiration for the most part. News and sports are a little bit different, but for the most part, it's relatability or inspirational. And I think that's just a relatable show. We all have neighbors. We've all been in those situations, and it's, you know, it's cathartic to see other people in those situations.
In a moment, we'll talk to Jill Goldfarb, the Senior Vice President of Trusted Media Brands, about an organization that her organization has gotten involved with over the last 6 months, the Independent Streaming Alliance, and what role that will play in not only her service, but other services involved with that organization. Plus, I'll ask her about another brand that yet is not done a network. Will they do one? I'm talking Reader's Digest. We'll get into that in a bit. Jill joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. 39 degrees. We get near the bottom of the hour. It's still sunny as the sun is going down. We are expecting some kind of storm starting tomorrow afternoon and going into Monday morning. Right now it's looking like New York City itself will be either all rain or rain and snow. And upstate New York and New England, snow, maybe as many as 3 to 8, 10 inches, depending on where you are. So definitely take to the Weather Channel or other weather sources in your neighborhood for what is going on. And if you have a question, comment, or maintenance with Jill, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04. That's right. There we go. Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up for our next half hour, in addition to Shelley Palmer talking CES 2024 and what kind of TV announcements we will see out of there starting Monday in Las Vegas, we've got a classic trivia question. We're still looking for our first winner of 2024. Stand by. Could be you. Seven prize in play. So stay tuned for that. That's coming way near the top of the hour. Now, Jill, your organization plus nine others formed the Independent Streaming Alliance, which is one of two organizations that is out to raise the profile of ventures like yours. Reverie is also part of ISA. So is Cineverse, formerly Cinedigm, and others. What's the alliance been like so far? And what are you hearing about what it will do next year, or this year, I should say?
Yeah, to your point, it's a group of nine-plus independent channels like ours. Crackle is also involved. You mentioned Cineverse and Reverie, Vevo, Tastemade. It's been a really good group. I think, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, this fast world is about 5 years young, and we're all still learning, and it's still evolving, and being able to share knowledge and come up with best practices and work with our platform partners to continue to grow this market within the TV industry and make it better for viewers, make it more profitable for everybody. It's really very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the Streaming Innovation Alliance as well, which also started around the same time as ISA.
Correct, and I'll be honest, I don't know quite as much about that one other than hearing about it.
Yeah. One more thing about the Alliance. Do you see them, let's say, holding an event in New York or where you are in L.A. or other parts of the country to sort of, with all the membership, and I understand there's other services coming on or about to come on this year, to raise the profile, the public profile, the press profile of services like yours?
For sure, and that's one of the things that's in the works is to actually have our first big event, whether we call it a conference or an event to meet people, bring in platforms, bring in the other channels, and highlight what we're doing. That is in the works and coming probably in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Some people may not know that Trusted Media Brands also has Reader's Digest under its wing.
Yep.
And way, way back when, in the 1950s, there was actually a television series. It was an anthology, so-called TV Reader's Digest. You can actually see some episodes on YouTube that ran for about a year or two on broadcast television. Has there been any discussion about turning Reader's Digest, which is one of the most popular magazines in the history of the world, turning that and its various features into a 24/7 channel?
Yeah, look, our goal is to continue to bring our great brands to everywhere our viewers are, whether that's fast and social and print, and to continue to expand on that. We talked a little bit about At Home with Family Handyman based on the Family Handyman brand, which we launched about a year ago. We are in the process of currently looking for the next brand that we are going to bring to fast. And for sure, Reader's Digest, as you mentioned, is extremely popular. Amazing content that readers and viewers of all, but the thing that's amazing to me is that it's all ages really respond to Reader's Digest even now. It's not, you would think it was just, you mentioned it's from the 1950s, but millennials and younger viewers and users are responding to it as well, watching it with their families online and reading. So there's a lot of great content there, and it's certainly one we are considering.
And one would think that there are a lot of features in that magazine that are very adaptable for television, whether it is adapting short stories and articles into unscripted or scripted programming. There's features like It Pays to Increase Your Word Power, which was a terrific feature for many, many years, and Laughter is the Best Medicine, which was like humorous health stories. So it seems that you have so much that you could do with Reader's Digest as a network.
Completely agree. And so it's one that we're looking into. We want to be able to do it right. So making sure that we have all the pieces in place as I said, and figuring out the, you know, what makes sense to be the next one to market. But you're right, Reader's Digest continues to be an amazing brand and lots of great features and content to use.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other brands that your company has that also might be looked at for fast or a new channel deployment? Also, do you get proposals from time to time from other programmers or other entrepreneurs saying, hey, we love what you're doing. We'd like to distribute our service through you.
Sure. So, you know, Taste of Home is another there's a few other magazines we have. Taste of Home, which is our food and cooking and again, community magazine and website and social that is extremely popular, and we started rolling testing some of that content in various places. We're going to continue to look at that as well, and that could be coming down the road. Yes, and we do. Look, I think what's interesting about fast channels is, and you know this, there was a huge rush that everybody thought, oh, this will be easy. I'm going to take the content that I have sitting on the shelf and we're going to put it up. And I think what people learn pretty quickly is there's a lot of work to put together a fast channel. You know, I have what I'm going to call a mini network, team of people from our program strategy team and scheduling and marketing and research and ad sales and you know, we have a full 360 team, and the channels to do them right, and to make sure we're optimizing and bringing to viewers the best channels we can, really take a full team. So we often have people that come and say, can you run our channels for you? And, you know, we definitely have those conversations, and, you know, we want to help people and work where we can, and it makes sense. So partnerships are definitely something we're always talking about and exploring in various ways.
Yeah. Jill, before you go, do you see as we go forward the possibilities for interactive content, interactive advertising, interactive commerce, where people can, while they watch your service, order products and services?
Yeah. Look, I think that's the next big thing. And you certainly hear it a lot about it at conferences. You know, I think that's one of the things I think with the ISA and some of the other platforms and working with our great platform partners, trying to figure out the best way to do that. You know, I think interactive has been, again, I don't want to date myself, but throughout my career in TV, everybody's tried to find, okay, what's the right interactive way? I know Hulu has a new product that they're trying. But so a long-winded way to say, yes, I think that's coming. I don't think we're quite there yet. Trying to find a way to approach it and give value both for viewers and for advertisers.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be hearing more about interactive possibilities from Shelley Palmer, who will join us right after the bottom of the hour. Again, Trusted Media Brand has a bunch of networks you can catch, like Fail Army, People Are Awesome, At Home with Family, Handyman, and more. They're available on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles all over the place. And for more details about the various services and the full organization at large, go online to www.trustedmediabrands.com. That's www.trustedmediabrands.com. Jill Goldfarb, the Senior Vice President of that organization, thank you again for joining us and kicking off our episode today. All the very best to you and everybody involved in 2024. We're looking forward to covering your current services and hopefully new ones as the year goes along.
Thank you again. It was great to be here. Happy and healthy New Year.
You too, Jill. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Jill Goldfarb, Senior Vice President of Trusted Media Brands, joining us live from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way. First, let's pause for a message from Wild. Now, are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Well, give Wild a try. You know, Wild deodorant is natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. I use it all over the place. Been doing it since late last year. Wonderful, no smell, goes on easy, great fragrance though. Like that, it's like scent and color combinations actually. And there's a variety you can choose from, like jasmine and mandarin blossom, or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about. And if you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door, and you get a special case that you can fill out. It's easy. So go Wild today with a special discount of 25% off your first order. And all you have to do for that is to use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com. That's wearewild.com and use the promo code TELEVISE Simon Apple 04. It's Simon Apple number 0, number 4 at checkout. So check out Wild. It is the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Go out there and enjoy. Shelley Palmer joins me from New York when we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out some wonderful music on BTR every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. We're talking about The B-Side, one of BTR's longest-running shows. The B-Side, next episode next Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to more of our two-hour episode of Smart Beat Televised, wrapping up your first week of 2024. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York, 39 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Welcome, you're just joining us at that point. And we have more guests coming away over the next 90 minutes, so stay tuned and be part of the program. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04, by name. On Monday morning, CES 2024 will start rolling in Las Vegas with more than 140,000 people expected, 3,000-plus exhibitors, 1,000-plus startups. And here to tell us what the TV side of that is going to be like is someone we have not had on in a long, long time, and I'm thrilled he's back. He's one of the best people covering television and technology from New York, Shelley Palmer. Happy New Year, Shelley. It's great to have you back.
Great to be here, Simon. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. And how are you getting ready for what's transpiring in Vegas next week?
Well, you know, this is going to be a wonderful CES in that we are now, I think, firmly post-COVID, and the whole show is back. You know, every year since the pandemic started, it's been something different. First, the show was all virtual, then it was hybrid. Then, though they held the show, there were less people because people were still concerned about super spreaders, and now everybody feels like it's just business as usual. So it's going to be a very exciting, very busy CES.
And what do you think it means for television, given that we're starting this year with 90% of all U.S. households having smart TV sets, smart TV devices, more and more watching what you can get through them, whether it's a mega content service like Netflix or Disney Plus or Paramount Plus, all these new, some call fast, these free ad-supported, in some case subscription channels, and it looks like interactive television may finally be busting loose, whether it's interactive video games or interactive advertising and commerce.
Well, that's kind of a big, packed, loaded intro. We could break it down into a couple sides, Simon. I think we have to separate in first the content from the technology. The technology, I think it's going to be a quiet year. Last year we saw much brighter TVs. We saw the mini LEDs get sort of adopted and adapted into mid-level and even some low-level TV sets. And so I don't think this year you're going to see anything that's going to blow your mind from a hardware perspective. From a smart TV perspective, there are two camps. One is the connected television from the manufacturer. There's always slight improvements, but remember, the minute you buy a connected TV, you've locked in the technology. So, you know, they can't up the processor. They can't give you more memory. They can't give you more of anything. You're buying a piece of tech that's going to sit in your home and be what it's going to be. So sticks like the Fire TV stick and the Roku stick and other sidecars and additional, you know, dongles and other approaches to smart TV seem to be gaining way more traction than just connected TVs themselves. The other thing that I think is important from a TV perspective, and Simon, there's no way around this, TVs are getting less expensive. Everything's getting more expensive in the world. Inflation globally is at a 20-year high, I think, although it has come down just a bit in the last few weeks. But TV prices have been just plummeting. Maybe it's oversupply. There's any number of reasons people are saying that the TVs are cheaper, but they are, in fact, cheaper. Not the super high-end. Super high-end, you can still spend $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 on a TV set if you want or on a monitor. But you can also go into Best Buy or Costco and for $500, $600, come up with an incredibly good television set. And so this is wonderful news for consumers, and it's going to be wonderful news for consumers moving forward. From a content perspective, as you know better than anyone, FAST and AVOD and SVOD and all of the VODs, every version of streaming has, you know, have become just ubiquitous. Cord cutting is rampant to the point where it's its own, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. We're going to find ourselves in a world where everybody is streaming everything at all times. And this is good for consumers in some respects, meaning that they have more choice than ever before. It's bad for consumers in that if you have to bundle together services on your own, it can be and, in fact, probably is more expensive than your cable bill, especially when you add in the cost of Internet access. If you have a lot of people in your house trying to get online at the same time, you need more bandwidth. That's even more expensive. So consumers are probably looking into a world in 2024, if I had to guess from a trend perspective, we're probably looking at bundling across the industry for several reasons. One, the economics of streaming for any other company, for any company not named Netflix, is not possible. Like, just the economics don't work. Disney is feeling the pressure. Paramount's feeling the pressure. Everybody's feeling the pressure. I don't want to single anybody out. They're all other than Netflix, and even Netflix, everybody is feeling the economic pressure. And the strike didn't help. You know, it was both strikes, writer's strike and SAG-AFTRA. The strikes didn't help. So we're in a time now where I think you're going to see some consolidation, some bundling. Everything old is new again, Simon. So, you know, we had cable bundles, then we had a la carte everything. I think consumers are going to enjoy the financial benefit of having certain organizations bundle their content, and I think people are going to gravitate towards it because it'll be economically beneficial to do so. And then I think that those are the trends. I mean, realistically, the television trends. I think we're going to see more content bundling. I think that most people would enjoy the lower priced, higher quality sets that are available now, and you can buy something cheaper than ever before because there are enough dongles and sidecars and external smart TV boxes, plus the ability to cast from your phone. You know, there's just so many different ways to get content onto the set that you are not locked into buying a super high-end smart TV, which is good news, to be fair.
Yeah. And speaking of bundles, Shelley, we are seeing these bundles, whether it is Philo TV or Pluto TV or Tubi or Zumo, not only grow to the point where some of these are like 200, 300, 400, FreeCast, 800 channels, but you're also seeing sort of these mini bundles with people like Trusted Media Brands, which we just had on in the last half hour, or Cineverse, formerly Cinedigm, which has their own bundle, or My Bundle TV, or Friendly TV, or Fast Channels TV, which we had on Tuesday, where they are not only aggregating channels from other players, they are creating channels. And, of course, every smart TV set maker, Samsung, LG, Vizio, now has their bundle. And these bundles just keep on growing and growing and growing, not with the likes of the All, as I mentioned earlier, the Murder, She Wrote, or the All Columbo, or the All Price is Right channel, but with actual original channels from independent players, especially from people and organizations of color.
Look, I think there are a bunch of probable futures, and I don't know that any one of them is going to be the ultimate end to the way that the content business evolves. I think you're going to see a lot of this happen simultaneously. There are old catalogs that are politically incorrect, shows you just can't air anymore for political reasons in certain markets, but not in others. In others, they're still fine. And so this idea of personalized television or hyper-personalized television where you've got, you know, when people say streaming, immediately you think of video in the context of television. But you have to remember you're streaming data. You're not really streaming video. All video that's streamed is data. Streaming data is interesting because it not only it doesn't only go in one direction from the server to your set, but information is coming back from where you are. The streaming data that's collected by your device, your location, if you're on the move, if you are in a given geofence. So it's a two-way connection, and the ability to personalize by region or personalize by preference is critically important to the future. What we haven't discussed yet is that we are absolutely in the most nascent stages of two branches of generative AI. One where you will see content created on the fly in near or at real time for no or low cost that is hyper-personalized to your needs. And whether that starts with commercial messaging or evolves into programming, that's yet to be seen. But the professional organizations are working feverishly to lower their costs of production and lower their cost of creative and lower their cost of content, and also to increase their efficacy by using generative tools. That's one side of the house. Simultaneously, there's an area that I'm giving it a name. It doesn't have a name, but a lot of the technologies we're dealing with today don't yet have permanent names. Whatever you think when I say social media, and then I follow it up with, what is social media to media? And you say, well, I know what traditional media is. Okay, so what is social media? That's people's ability to do blah, blah, blah. Whatever you can define any way you want. Well, the offshoot of generative AI is going to be social production, and it will be to production what social media is to media. What I mean by that is, rather than you needing any skills whatsoever, you'll be able to describe the goal that you have. I would like a video of Simon Applebaum producing his podcast. Tomorrow will be televised in a studio, and all of a sudden this video is going to form. So this ability to produce by describing for normal people, not for professionals, has never existed. So we've got two paths here. We've got a professional production path where productivity and increases in capability sets will be used by professionals. And then we've got the consumer grade level of video production, which we've never had before. Sure, you can make a video with your phone, but it always looked like a video you made with your phone. Now the video you make with your phone is going to start to have production value we haven't seen before, and you won't need to know how to do it. You'll just need to know how to describe it. That's new, and it's just coming now. So there's an explosion of content coming. Like we thought we had a lot of content before, Simon, it's going to get crazy now. And those all the channels you've described, each one of them is going to find a home. Somebody is going to, by their actions, literally their behaviors, will demonstrate the kind of content that should be surfaced for them. And in a hyper-personalized environment, that content will be surfaced for you. And whether that's in a channelized environment or personalized environment or bundled environment, those business models have yet to evolve. But it's all coming in faster, I think, than we believe it could, because we haven't seen anything come as at the speed that generative AI has come in 2023. It has been a year of breakneck exponential growth in ways. I mean, we say exponential growth every year, but we've never seen anything at this speed.
And Shelley, here's another way that AI is growing, and it wasn't talked about a year ago. And in a way, I think it's still not being talked about going to CES, and it should be, which is this. We now are a critical mass of smart TV sets and smart devices that have artificial intelligence software, generative AI included, that allow people to use a audio feature like Siri or Google Assistant or Alexa or Cortina through the television set, not with a separate speaker, through the television set to watch and use television. And as a result, we are now seeing things like Samsung and LG with game hubs. You can play thousands of games on your television set without having to use a PlayStation or Xbox or console on the set. You just use a joystick or a voice or a voice remote. We're seeing Roku now with action ads where you can order products and services or get more details about a product through the television set. Amazon had an announcement last fall where for the last 3 months, if you have an Amazon Fire TV, you have generative AI capability to create your own video art gallery and display it on the set, create your own video art and display it on the TV set, put notes to your friends and family through the TV set, check your thermostat a la smart home technology, or your video doorbell. And it just seems that we may be on the verge. Is it fair to say that AI could very well be the linchpin, the smoking gun, whatever you want to define it, that's finally going to have interactive TV break loose. And something that's
been
the holy grail for years
so
in television finally now explodes.
Yeah, let's break this down. First of all, let's be a little careful with the use of AI terms. AI writ large, sure. Generative AI is a very specific technology. When you talk about any set that's available right now, any set that's consumer available, at its best, it has what's known as ASR, automatic speech recognition, where it can recognize commands. It doesn't understand them. It doesn't have natural language understanding. It has automatic speech recognition. And some of the sets have extremely good ASR because it's an easier technology. Understanding what word is being said, recognizing what word is being said is different from understanding what the word means. When you have something as simple as a television set and you say volume up or turn the volume up or anything like that, it only has to understand that those phrases are conditionally meaning turn the volume up. It doesn't need to know any more than that. Now, your hypothesis, though, that we could be on the cusp of voice-activated interactive television. Look, I have some of the. I think I have the earliest interactive television patent. Period. It's 1993, and it was reissued. It was reissued in 2011. So it's a 1993 invention. The patent was granted in 1995. It's the earliest interactive system for processing viewer responses to television programming at the patent office. So I think I can speak with a little bit of authority here. It has been the year of interactive TV since I invented it in 1995, I should say 93, and patented it, and it has never happened. Is it now there? Is it coming? Boy, Hulu's got a product, and there's a couple others out there, and I'm rooting for them. I don't know if we're ever going to have the kind of interactive television. And look, this was reduced. You know, my patent was reduced to practice by ABC and their Enhanced Television Group. It was used on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It was used on Celebrity Mole Yucatan. It was used on Monday Night Football. I mean, you know, there was a whole business built around it. And it might have been early, but that was a whole business built around it in the early part of this century. At the end of the day, are consumers ready for it? I think the handheld smartphone is the interactive device, the companion device to the television. I think most people are performing interactive TV experiences on their own by doing whatever they do on their phone while they're watching television, including shopping, including going to websites, including doing whatever they would do in order to interact with the TV programming. Is there ever going to be a television set that is technologically capable of being on par with your smartphone? It's hard to imagine that, Simon, because you buy the set 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and you buy the phone every year or two. And so the technology gap between the phone and the TV set is so huge. It's hard to imagine that a big monitor, a big flat screen, is ever going to be able to be the primary way you would interact. That said, I think a lot of people already interact with TikTok videos and YouTube videos and every other kind of video on their smartphone. And so this is more a sociological and environmental conversation on the behavioral side. But then there's the hardcore reality that my Samsung set that I spent, you know, $1,500, $1,800 for two years ago is 10 generations of computer behind my phone. They're just not compatible in their capability sets. So there's a lot to it. I don't think that we're going to see any version of AI help in interactivity. Where Samsung does a beautiful job, most people don't even know. If you've got a 4K set, any 2K content that you want upscaled to 4K happens computationally at Samsung in an amazingly good way. And if you are buying a large set, anything over, call it 85 inches, actually anything really over 75 to 100 inches, and Samsung makes sets that large. They make a beautiful 85, make a pretty respectable 95 too. It's really expensive. Those sets are 8K. And they upconvert because there's no 8K content. They upconvert to 8K, and they need to because of the pixel count. And that's all done computationally by this beautiful training set that Samsung put together over the last few years, probably the most comprehensive image picture set, video picture training set in the world. And they've been on this for a long time. It's not generative AI. It's good old-fashioned AI. And they've done an incredible job with their computational image upscaling. So same thing with your iPhone, by the way. Your iPhone has a 90 different ways it does computational photography. So does your Sony Alpha Series camera. I mean, it's all over the technology. It's just not called out the way that, you know, consumers became aware of AI on November 30th, 2022, when ChatGPT became the fastest growing technology to 100 million users in history. So everybody's talking about AI now like it was invented then, as I joked earlier. But in practice, machine learning and artificial intelligence have been ployed throughout consumer electronics for years, and no one's cared. It's, you know, it's not generative AI, it's just AI, and there's plenty of it, and it's all over the place. So, yeah, that's where we are. And I feel like, you know, it's a wonderful time in technology, and it's an explosive time, especially for content creators and producers. And it's going to be an economically challenging time for producers of traditional linear television and also even streaming systems, because in practice, it's expensive to make a high-grade television show still, and the economics are challenging. That simple.
Yeah, and you're onto something. I think generative AI is going to have a major role to play on how content is created and produced. And if Amazon can make this thing work with video art and video galleries using, and it is generated by, I understand that it is in the Amazon Fire TV, both the TV sets and the sticks and set tops. Look out.
Yes.
This could be really, really something. Shelley Palmer is with us live here in New York. He is going to CES 2024. Takes place in Vegas Monday through next weekend. And he is with us live this half hour in the Marby Televised. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Coming up at the top of the hour, classic trivia question of the week, 7 prizes in play, including the 2024 American Express pocket calendar. That all could be yours if you know the answer. And so stand by. That's coming your way before the top of the hour. Before we get into what you're going to be doing at CES, some very interesting people you're going to be talking with. Have you seen Kelly, which is the super smart TV set? We've been covering it for the last 9 months. It is trying to be the iPhone of television. I'm wondering if you had a chance to see it, and what do you think?
I have seen it. You know, I have the same questions about it that I have about all smart television sets and all interactive devices. And, you know, we don't need to look that hard for success. You just have to look at the numbers and, you know, are people using it as designed? And I think, you know, that is the, these are, no one needs to be smarter than the internet in 2024, Simon. You just put it out there and see if consumers use it. It's testable. So I know that it's out there. I've seen it. It's an impressive array of capabilities that echo many, many things that have been done in the past. But, you know, Clayton P. Knowles Jr., may he rest in peace, my very, very first entertainment lawyer, my first lawyer, a tremendously brilliant man. And he's not with us anymore, but he had a wonderful way of putting it. He was helping me with a patent I was working on. And he said to me, Shelley, do you know the difference between a rich genius and a broke genius? No, Clayton, I don't. And he said, well, a rich genius is 6 months ahead of his time, and a broke genius is 2 years ahead of his time. So is Telly at the right moment? It could be all the things everybody's always worked on, but maybe they are perfectly 6 months ahead of their time, and they are the ones that are going to win. Or maybe they're still 2 years ahead of their time, and their time has not yet come. This is for consumers to decide, not for me to pontificate about.
No, it's going to be an interesting story to follow, because they're saying that they want to get this out to millions of households for free. If you get it, you have to give them personal information with privacy guidelines, and we'll see what happens. And we'll keep both of us, and we'll follow this story with a great deal of interest to see if they can make it work as they say. Now, in terms of CES, you've got three very interesting people you're talking with. You got Mark Cuban, Shark Tank, owner of the Dallas, out soon to be non-owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And he also has an interactive TV service called Fireside. We should point that out. Yeah. You got Linda Iaccarino from X, the CEO of what X or Twitter, and you also have Will.i.am, the entertainer entrepreneur. What are you looking forward to hearing from them?
Well, let's see. In the order you brought them up, so Mark is the is a good friend for years, and he's got a bunch of things. He's got a new healthcare company. He's got he has divested himself of part of the Dallas Mavericks. I don't think we'll talk too much about that at CES, but we will talk about he's leaving Shark Tank. And what I want to hear from Mark is are his insights and his thoughts about trends. I especially want to hear how he's thinking about AI and its impact on society. Mark has always been someone who deeply, deeply understands the future, and in a good way. And his investable theses have proven to be correct more often than not. So it'll be interesting to hear how he's thinking about the future and what his investable theses are for 2024 and beyond. From Will.i.am, he's got a new company called FYI.ai. It's an AI company. He's got a really interesting relationship with the Mercedes-Benz organization, and he's going to be there for that. So he was kind enough to agree to come and talk to me on stage for Tuesday morning. So what Will and I will talk about is, I think, his AI project and also some of the things he's been working on. He's got his fingers in a million different pies and very, very smart and talented young man. So I'm excited about that. And then Linda Iaccarino, this is her first, this is actually X's first public appearance since Elon at the DealBook conference. So they're going to have to answer some questions about Elon's somewhat pejorative comments about advertising and advertisers. And Linda knows I'm going to ask her some hard questions. Full disclosure, I've known Linda for more than 25 years. We're good friends. I asked her if she would be willing to answer hard questions on stage in front of a bunch of advertisers, and she instantly agreed. She didn't even hesitate. She's like, yes. And I said, look, the first question I'm going to ask you is, Elon, DealBook, what was that? And let her go and see what happens. So we're going to ask the hard questions, and I'm also going to ask her why there's so much hate on X. Like, okay, you're telling me you guys are on top of this. Why is there so much hate speech? Like, what? How do you expect a brand advertiser who's looking for brand safety to be on this platform? And so she knows these questions are coming. It's not going to be a surprise to her. And she tells me that she's comfortable with those questions, and we're going to ask them, and we'll see what happens.
So, by the way, I have one question for each of them that I hope you can ask at your event.
Go ahead.
At CES next week.
I'm excited.
Will.i.am. Yeah, so for Will.i.am. Do you want to do television with AI? And what do you think AI's role in TV is going to be? And are you going to use it? For Linda,
okay.
Is X going to become a television venture? Because there has been some speculation that one of the things that Elon wants to do with Linda is, and why she joined, is the possibility of X becoming a television venture to some degree. Is that possible?
Yeah.
And then with Mark, Mark, what about Fireside, your interactive TV venture? What's going on with that? You're not on Amazon Fire TV. Are you going to go on other smart TV platforms? And what about telehealth? You mentioned the health venture he's involved with. Do you believe in telehealth on the television set, the ability to use your set to communicate with your doctor or to get drugs from your pharmacy? What do you think? So that's my questions for all three.
All right. Well, I've made a note of those, Simon. We'll see if we can fit them in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Anyway, if you want to I'm sorry we can't go further. Oh, my God, we're coming up top of the hour. And if you want to find out what Shelley is up to, go to ShelleyPalmer.com. He's also the head of the Palmer Group. And if you're in town in Las Vegas next week, do catch his events with Linda Iaccarino from X, with Will.i.am, with Mark Cuban. And they're all at the CES in Las Vegas. And for more details, go to CES.tech to get all details. Shelley, it's been a great pleasure to have you back. It's been a way long time. As always, you make the half hour run fly and run great.
Thank you, Simon. All the best. Happy New Year.
You too. All the greatest. Take care and have a great time in Vegas next week. Shelley Palmer from ShelleyPalmer.com and the Palmer Group coming your way live here in New York. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We got it going with our first episode back on Tuesday afternoon, and we are still looking for our first winner of 2024 and first winner in several months. Here's the question. Who was the millionaire on The Millionaire? We're looking at the character's name of The Millionaire, the popular CBS series from 1955 to 1960, produced by Don Feddersen. You can catch episodes on YouTube, find out more about it on Wikipedia. Who was the millionaire on The Millionaire? And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. We have 7 prizes in play, including the 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar. We've got the free Uber card from AMC Networks, the Redbox Movie Night from Crackle Connect. We've got the Chicago's Greatest Hits and the Lifetime Women Rock CD. And we've got 2 wonderful books by Jeff Melvoin of Northern Exposure fame, Running the Show, Television on the Inside, and from University of Southern California Professor David Craig, Apocalypse Television, How the Day After Helped End the Cold War. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're a previous guest or a winner on this program, you are not eligible. We don't get a winner by the end of today. Post the question tomorrow morning on X or Twitter and Facebook. X or Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT, and Facebook at Simon Applebaum. So get in the game today. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so and all the very best. If we have time, at the end of the next hour, we will repeat the question. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll focus on new services, one that just started called Hip Hop TV in our next half hour, and then a service been around actually for over a year, Sunstream. And we hope to have the director of a new made-for-TV movie that just got its premiere last month on that service. All coming up after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your host for 6060, a special tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, a very unique radio show. 6060, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best at BTR, always on YouTube. Welcome to the second hour of our Friday afternoon edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, first one of 2024. And welcome to those who are just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Great to have you with us. 38 degrees and sunny here in New Weather, York. And we want to hear from you. Some wonderful guests coming away in the 60 minutes ahead. So be part of the program. Interact with our guests. All you got to do is give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us with the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, our chat room is in business for you. SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. This hour is brought to you by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. And because we want to give you the most time with our guests, we are only having one commercial break this hour at the bottom of the hour. On our first episode of 2024, this past Tuesday afternoon, we introduced you to a company called Fast Channels TV that is working with new networks that are trying to get on the air through smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. Well, you're about to hear the chief operating officer of the newest network that Fast Channels TV is working with. It is called Hip Hop TV. Joining me here in New York to talk about the chief operating officer of that service, Talad Mabeb. Talad, welcome in and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Simon. We're glad to be here.
Same here, Tom. So tell us about Hip Hop TV. How long had you thought about doing it, and when did it finally start?
Well, it's actually been in development within the past 2 years, and I've gotten involved with it within the past three months or so. And right now, we kind of found out exactly where we want, how we wanted to mold this channel. This is basically a lifestyle channel. It's one of three channels under our parent channel, which is the Urban News Network. We have the Motorcycle Channel, Hip Hop TV, and the Sports Network and the Sports Channel. But Hip Hop TV, like the other ones, is a lifestyle channel. And we're kind of going into depth as far as, you know, really catering to the people in that particular lifestyle.
And how is Hip Hop TV differentiated from Revolt or BET Hip Hop or other channels in the genre?
Yep. Well, I would say our main difference is basically we get away from, it's not just about the music, it's about engaging in, you know, because hip-hop is a grassroots movement, and it's real. And our focus is mainly on, you know, the different elements of hip-hop. be it dance, art, fashion, and other things like that. So what we're doing is to engage the public with not just content, but also an outreach program, more educational. There are some aspects of it that gets into some political aspects and dealing with communities, working with groups like the Police Athletic League, the NAACP, and other organizations. So you can say that we're kind of like getting into the mix of things with communities where this culture actually came out of. So, that's pretty much like a brief of what we're doing. So part of our presentation is to say that, we're more than an entertainment channel. We're a resource. And it's about getting information about how to evolve this genre.
Last year, we had the 50th anniversary of hip-hop as a culture, and a lot of different networks and a lot of different specials and salutes and so forth. What do you hope, through your service, you can bring to the next half century of hip-hop here in the United States and around the world, starting this year?
Well, one of the things is to basically to evolve hip-hop, evolve the thought, the mindset of what hip-hop is all about. I think one of the things is we want to make sure, we want people to see growth, the growth of this genre through the different other categories, as I mentioned, whether it be fashion or other things. So one of the things is also to kind of like change the conversation when people are talking about hip-hop artists. You know, mostly everything's been pushed on a commercial level, and they really look about it from the main, from like the mainstream, from the record labels and everything like that. But, like I said, this genre came out of the grassroots, out of the communities. And as the communities are developing into different other ways and there are different other challenges, that those expressions have to should be heard. So we want to kind of like elevate those voices in through art. So it's a kind of also changing the vibe because – one other thing is our channel is global, and that's one of the benefits of being on the streaming network. It's not just limited to, here in the United States. So if we're speaking to the world through content, we basically want people to see us as a culture for more than it has been just in the past through the eyes of record labels and everything else. We want people to get a better view of it from the communities.
Mm-hmm. Where is the channel, by the way, playing? What smart TV sets or multi-channel bundles can people see the network on?
Yes. Of course, these are the fast channels. They can also see it on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire, Android. They can download the app on from the Apple Store. So Hip Hop TV and Hip Hop Radio, they're both the apps are available. As far as uploading it, so there's a streaming service. We also have a linear channel on there. It's 24/7, so they can, if you desire to look at it through the programming on a time schedule, you can do that that way as well.
We are talking about Hip Hop TV, one of the new services that are popping up on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles, with its chief operating officer, Talab Mabib. And he is with us live in New York this half hour, right here on Smart Beat Televised. Talab, I'm with you also in the Big Apple, 38 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. We have three episodes for you this week to open 2024. Three more coming your way next week, starting on Monday at our regular hour, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. And joining us as our opening guest will be the creator and showrunners of Hulu's first original scripted series of the year, Death and Other Details. A murder mystery takes place on an ocean liner in the middle of the ocean, and it's up to Manny Patinkin, playing a Perot-type character, to solve the crime, finding as many details as he can. And there's a little bit of a twist, too. We will have the creators and showrunners Mike Weiss and Heidi Cole McAdams as our lead guests. We'll also bring back Dan Merchant. When he was on this program 2 years ago, he was working on a comedy series called Live and Local on Pure Flix, the Sony, at that time, owned Faith, Family Values, Aspiration, Inspiration channel. It is now in Great American Family's hands as Great American Pure Flix, And after he did that show, Live Plus Local at the time, featuring Dave Coulet from Full House fame, he started a program about a hospice nurse, a drama called Going Home. It is now today in its second season, starring Emmy Award nominee Cynthia Geary. You may remember from Golden Exposure back in the 1990s. Well, second season is underway. Dan Merchant, the showrunner and creator of that program, will be with us as well on Monday. Plus, we'll have a recap of the TV winners of the Golden Globe Awards Sunday night on CBS. And we'll also have the early TV developments from CES 2024 in Las Vegas. That's all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Smart Be Televised. And we will also have CES 2020 updates on our Wednesday and Friday shows as well. Talam, what are some of the original programming in the lifestyle vein that your network runs?
Well, right now what we're doing is we're setting up. Some of our partners on the West Coast, they have Black and Brown Entertainment, which both looks at, you know, content, whether it be musical or docu-series that's basically happening in there in the West Coast. And, you know, there's as far as with some of the artists and taking a deep dive behind the scenes of, you know, struggling to be artists and producers and things like that, and family life, and they have like a whole slew of different type of shows on there. So we're right now getting involved with you know, setting up those type of categories. There's also one that we have with a lot of new artists, and it's just kind of like they're being showcased as far as, you know, their music is concerned. But again, what we're doing now is kind of setting up a testing ground for looking at a lot of the new content and developing more or less new content to come on there, and that's through basically introducing some of these artists prior to the videos that are on there now. So we're going back to a lot of the artists and we're kind of like reintroducing themselves again. So like I said, the model right now is a work in progress, and we're being mostly just interactive through social media and, reaching out to new artists. We are also looking at the Asian community, like in the Philippines. A lot of people, you know, may not realize it, but the number one battle rap group, battle competition group is in the Philippines. Second would be in Canada. So because hip-hop is global, we are looking at different things, globally.
Are you getting proposals from independent producers or other people about doing scripted shows or I remember MTV used to have the show Cribs, where you would have hip-hop talent, other pop and rock talent, so showcase their homes, how they manage them, and so forth.
Yes. Well, we are engaged with I really can't go into too many details with it, but we are engaged with dealing with a lot of the legends in hip hop and talking about some original content, some docuseries, as well as some scripted content. So we are reviewing some of these scripts that we're thinking about doing in-house. So a lot of these things we will be producing a lot of original stories. So that is something that we're working on as well.
How is Fast Channels TV, which Russell Foy, one of the key people that network we had on Tuesday, how have they helped your service in getting off the ground and or expanding?
Yes, they've been very helpful as far as supplying us with different technical support and everything like that as far as, you know. And, this is great. It gives us more eyes onto the channel. They're very hands-on with this, especially with the, with the press releases and things like that, and also, placement. I would say a big thing is, again, we are now can share within the viewership and sponsor, and and by having the advertisers, it kind of it increases those viewers by a lot. And I think the big thing is that I think that's something that even many of the larger companies or all media companies are going with is with the fast channels, which of course free ad sponsors. So that's very helpful for us.
What kind of feedback are you getting from viewers? And also, are you making any headway with advertisers who look like they're going to try to make a big plunge this year in not only getting on services like yours, but also maybe doing it in an interactive way where people can choose what ads they watch and also maybe order products and services off those ads?
Yeah, like I said, what it is that, we have different platforms and different ways in which we distribute our content. One is through, of course, with fast channels, which is great that, we have that. But we're also working in-house to create our own ads with different specific manufacturers and products. Because one of the things that's very important, having a niche channel in a niche market, you want to make sure that you have the appropriate product that can actually get picked up and sold. So, yeah, we'd go into a lot of the basics of, looking at the old television models. I mean, although things have changed because of the streaming, the jobs have changed. We're not looking at engineering or things like that anymore. We're doing more data entry, we're doing a lot of things that's totally different as far as that's concerned within the media. But as far as ads are concerned, it's having a better relationship with companies and to make sure that it's appropriate for the lifestyle of that channel, because ultimately you want these companies to benefit with sales.
What plans do you have to showcase your service in public, whether it's through events or doing an upfront event or new front event or getting involved with organizations like the Independent Streaming Alliance, which you talked to Trusted Media Brands about, their member, or the Streaming Innovation Alliance to raise the profile of your service or services, actually. And we're going to get back to Urban News Network, which has a role also on Hip Hop TV, and I think you have a sports service also in a little bit. But I'm curious whether there's any plans to do anything in public here in New York, Los Angeles, you mentioned Canada, to try to, as I said, get people an opportunity to know more in public about what you're doing.
Right, yes. So one of the things is we're engaging people within those different lifestyles, whether it be within the sports. We're looking at the different types of communities, sports that are played in communities, and either creating shows or videotaping games and competitions, and becoming part of those social circles within their network. And it's basically word of mouth when you start dealing with different things. But if that's the lifestyle, that's what they're doing, it does expand out. So that's one way that we're doing it. The other thing is that because, like I said, with hip-hop TV, hip-hop is broad in the sense that basically there are a lot of organizations, and that's what we're doing. We're doing more of an outreach, working with other organizations within the hip-hop community. And it's communicating, how do we get our messaging out there? How do we get our content out there? And it's about, pulling together. Like, you have other networks that are, merging and everything else. So in that same way, we're doing that within the hip-hop community.
You're hearing Talad Mabeb. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Hip-Hop TV, now running on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. He joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. It's the close of our opening week of 2024 for the program All About TV's current and future. Tom, I'm with you live from the Big Apple. 37 degrees, we come quarter past the hour, past that, and we still want to hear from you in our remaining minutes with Talad, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up in our final half hour, we will be joined by Garrett Sutton. He is the president of a very unique service called Sunstream. It's actually been on for over a year. And it's an independent subscription service available, again, on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles that is trying to print new original content, movies, documentaries, and original series. And they just became the carrier of an unusual holiday movie that premiered last month called Kangaroo Kids. We hope to be joined by the director of that program, Barai Richmond, who did it with, I believe, his father, Branscombe Richmond. So that's coming your way in our final half hour right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So stay tuned for that. And if you weren't with us in our first half hour, we're going to try to bring you, our first hour, we're going to try to bring you the classic trivia question. We are still looking for our first winner of 2024. And stick around and be first to answer the question by email. That winner could be you. And you could win seven prizes, including the 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar. And if you listen to some podcast, by the way, don't be shy. Be in it, too. You never know. So try it. Stay with us, and you could be that winner. Talad, talk about Urban News Network. How long has that been going on, and what kind of coverage do you give?
Well, right now, the Urban News Network is basically the parent company is basically, umbrellaing all these other ones. So what we're doing with that right now is, we do have some broadcasts from some of the other networks as far as, linking together as far as current news. But with the with that network itself, we're going to be dealing with more or less up-and-coming journalists that are basically coming up with us within some of the different colleges that we're now communicating with. And it's giving them the opportunity to tell the news on a local level, which we think is very important, especially from if they're just basically telling the news, tell the story. And a lot of this is going to be based on, the facts, not so much opinions, but it's like pretty much straight to the point, what's happening in that community. So, this opens the door for us to be able to do other things in, as far as directing resources and things like that. It's about basically just bringing light to communities and different situations and resources. So the Urban Network News is going to be working with up and coming journalists and engaging with their communities.
Yeah. Two things. One, are you working with historically black colleges and universities to bring these journalists on board? And second, I understand that Urban News Network is providing on the hour updates of news. Is the game plan eventually to spin that off and expand it into its own 24/7 channel?
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's going to be happening within our network, within the different hip hop organizations as well, because we're engaged in many. Because I can't go into complete, to different strategies and stuff like that, but we've actually extended ourselves nationwide. And as far as their association with different local colleges and different stories that are basically affecting different communities. So, yes, we are looking to do it 24/7, and the best way to do that would be, within these different hip-hop communities throughout the United States. And there are several different organizations that we can probably see, or if it's type of hip-hop in here. A whole different type of categories that cover different things. But our thing is the channel will be the channel for hip-hop. So basically we're opening the door for these communities to bring in stories, to bring in content and things like that. And, I think right now it's a big question as to, what's acceptable, what's not, compensation. There's a number of different things that are there, and we're working on we're working with different organizations with that right now. But yeah.
And just to be clear, also, do you see a role for historically black college universities like the Alcorn States, the Grambling, the Southern Universities, Florida A&M, and so forth to be part of this in some manner?
Yes, absolutely. And because number one, we're looking at a couple things. For number one is, it's expanding on the brand and different things. Like where we're looking at the urban news way of looking at young professionals, bringing them in one area, and also maybe utilizing their skills and maybe seeing if there are other avenues within the entertainment side or building content, working on documentaries, docuseries, different things within that. Because, I mean, a lot of things are changing as far as the model for creating music and everything else. Most of the stuff a lot of people are doing on their own. There are a lot of independent artists out there, the independent producers. They just for one thing is they're utilizing certain platforms, like, you know, you have the Spotify's and other things that they're putting the stuff out on there. But now this would be able to cover a specific niche. And like I said, it's going to be pretty much organic towards the hip hop community.
And before you go, what is the role of sports programming? What kind of sports are you doing?
We're looking at everything, everything from flag football. This could be kids and adults. It could be flag football. It could be pickleball. It could be a number of things, baseball, tennis. We're starting to look at a lot of things within the martial arts community. So it's going to be a lot of fun stuff in there. And also that's something that's connected with all of our channels would be the marketplace, giving people the opportunity to purchase goods within these channels that fits their lifestyle. But, yeah, sports, we're really excited about that. And with all these different things, we can kind of like branch and they're interconnecting.
Mm-hmm. And again, the game plan is ultimately it's also its own 24/7 service.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yes, we. That's the game plan. Well, right now we do have 24/7 with the hip hop channel, and you know we have as far as we have a linear schedule and everything set up there like that. So there's always content on there.
Again, the name of the service is Hip Hop TV. It is now available on some smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles, and more to come. If you want more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.hiphoptv.org. That's www.hiphoptv.org. And if you want more details about Fast Channel TV, and you want to catch our interview that we did on Tuesday with Russell Foy, one of the key people at that service, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Go to all of our more than 40 podcast sites, from Zencast to the iRadio Podcast Network to Odyssey and Acast. Or you can go to our wonderful website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. That's tomorrowbetelevised.com. And do check it out. And love to get your feedback on it. Talama Bohm, the Chief Operating Officer of Hip Hop TV, thank you very much for joining us. A wonderful, great big year ahead for you. And we'd love to have you back on the program toward the end to see how it all shakes out.
I truly appreciate the invite and giving us the opportunity to tell a little bit about what we're doing, and look forward to follow up with you on another show. And hey, have a wonderful and healthy new year.
Absolutely, Talon. Let's count down. I hope we can get a chance to see your network in person and in public soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care and enjoy the weekend too.
Yes, thank you.
Talama Boeb from Hip Hop TV joining me here in New York. More Tomorrow Televised coming away. First, this word from the gang at BlendJet. Now, if your blender is bulky and an absolute positively pain to operate, give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks an easy pleasure. BlendJet is so portable to work up anything you want, whether it's your favorite smoothie at the office or a protein booster at the gym or that terrific poolside margarita. BlendJet's quiet to operate, and it's rechargeable on the go. So what are you waiting for, especially now that BlendJet is available at the lowest price ever? Here's how. You go to BlendJet.com, grab yours today. Be sure to use the promo code TELEVISE to get 12% off your order. That's 12% off the current lowest ever price and free two-day shipping. So remember, you go to BlendJet.com, grab yours today. Use the promo code TELEVISE. You get 12% off your order. That's 12% off the already lowest price ever during this New Year's time. And free two-day shipping. So blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. When we come back after the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Garrett Sutton, the president of SunStream. It's been around for over a year. It's a subscription service on smart TV sets and devices, and they're now starting to get very big into original programming. We hope to have the director of one of the newest original shows they've done, the unique made-for-TV movie, Kangaroo Kids. That's coming your way after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. We got the last weekend of the NFL season ahead, and Pigskin Nation will cover it all tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. The Pigskin Nation get a preview of this final super weekend of the National Football League regular season and some preview of the playoffs as well. Tonight, to 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Pigskin Nation exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, SB Chart 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to our final 30 minutes of this two-hour edition on a Friday afternoon of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live from the Big Apple, 38 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Welcome to those of you just joining us for our final 30 minutes. Got a great guest and maybe more for you in this 30 minutes ahead. So be part of the program. Interact with a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This hour, you might say, if just joined us, is a network is devoted to new networks. We just had Hip Hop TV, one of the newest networks getting available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Our final topic today is another service that started over a year ago. It is subscription video on demand, and it's called SunStream, and it's running on various smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. And joining us live to talk about it is its president, Garrett Sutton. Garrett, Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us. And hold on for a second. We're going to get Garrett on the line. By the way, he's been with us listening the entire time. There you go. Garrett Sutton, welcome in. Garrett, go ahead. Hold on for 1 second. Let's get him back on the line.
Hello?
There we go. Garrett, welcome in. Simon Applebaum from Bobby Televised in New York. And you're joining us live from Reno, Nevada. How is it out there?
Simon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Garrett. Go ahead. Garrett, can you hear me?
Yeah, I know. And it went muted, unmuted. You want me to call back? I'll just call back.
No. You're on the – okay, you're calling back. All right, go ahead, Garrett. Call back. And as soon as we get him on the line again, we will bring him to you. He's calling us from Reno, Nevada. Garrett Sutton, again, is with SunStream. It is a network that's been around for over a year, started in 2022, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. And as soon as he gets back on the line, we will have him. In the meantime, for those just joining us, we'll let you know that we have three more episodes of our program coming your way in the second full week of 2024. Garrett, I believe, has just come back in. And here he is. Garrett Sutton, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Simon?
Very well, fine, thank you. And thanks for tuning into the program right from the get-go. So introduce SunStream, your network, to us.
Yeah, SunStream, we actually launched December 4th. We've been in preparation for at least a year. We are a subscription service, and we are focusing on a couple different categories that we think are of interest. One, Simon, is called Cool Kids Money Smarts. And, you know, they don't teach about money and financial matters in school. And so we are providing that type of video content on SunStream. So we have gold and silver for kids, the history of money for kids. These are original SunStream shows that we've produced. I still work with Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote the best-selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I've written a number of books in the series, and over the last 20 years have sold a lot of books under my name, but also have traveled the world with Robert Kiyosaki. And what I learned was parents in all countries, South America, Australia, Europe, want their kids to learn about money. And so that is one of the reasons that we started SunStream, is to provide this kind of important content for parents, as well as to have entertaining movies and TV shows on there as well.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the idea of this? And by the way, is there any significance to Sun with two N's at the end?
Sure. And I know that Branscombe Richmond is trying to call in, so hopefully he will be on the show as well, because he's the chairman of our board. Branscombe has been in the movie business for 50 years, and you may have remember him from the TV show Renegade. But as to your question, Simon, about Sun, S-U-N-N, there was a motion picture company called Sun Classic Pictures, and it was founded in 1971. One of their most popular shows was The Life and Time of Grizzly Adams with Dan Haggerty, and it was led to three sequels and an NBC television series. Sun also produced Cujo, the Stephen King book and movie about the rabid St. Bernard that terrorized a family. And so Sun has this great history, and one of my clients, Lang Elliott, had brought Sunstream back with some of the original founders, and he had me come aboard to get the Sun Classic company going again. And it became clear that we should have two companies. One would be Sun Classic that would do continue to do original programming and production. And the second would be Sunstream, S-U-N-N Stream, that would do the streaming service. So we're kind of born from that original classic movie company, Sun Classic Pictures.
And they were known for debuting these films for like a week or two at a time. They did like this incredible marketing promotion campaign where like almost every half hour you saw a ad for The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams or whatever film that they were playing. And I do remember the TV series on NBC ran a year and a half. Many people remember the theme song Maybe, which was really wonderful. I thought it was a very good show, very underrated show.
You know, and they also, Simon, did documentaries, and one of their most famous ones was Bigfoot. And the picture that they developed for that documentary or mockumentary was of the basketball player in the gorilla suit. And it's been reproduced a million times. And the insiders at Sun Classic say, you know, the angle of the photo was perfect. You couldn't see the zipper.
You have a question or comment for our guest, the president of Sunstream, the subscription video on demand service that's available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we hope to have any moment Branscombe Richmond. Some remember him as, I believe it was Bobby, the character on Renegade, the Stephen Cannell series around syndication with Lorenzo Lamas for a number of seasons. I was here in New York. I remember that show. Great theme music by Mike Post, by the way. Very Buffalo Springfield kind of – by the way, it's on his album, Inventions for the Blue Line, also available on CD. So, Branscombe, if you're hearing us, give us a call, 646-652. I believe each – guess what? Just declare it, and I believe – Branscombe, are you there?
This is Friday, Richmond. I'm here.
Ah, hi, Fry, and you're the director of Kangaroo Kid. Welcome aboard. It's great to have
I
you.
Am,
Fry,
sir.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Ah, great. Great to hear you. And let's get you right into it because you've got one of the first original programs that just started this past holiday season on Sunstream, excuse me, that's Kangaroo Kids. A very unique holiday movie. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of in the vein of E.T., Home Alone, and Goonies. Like that classic 1980s epic adventure, kids on an adventure sort of story. And it's about a 13-year-old girl who befriends a 13-year-old orphan girl who befriends an orphan kangaroo. And a bunch of thieves come to the zoo where the kangaroo is and tries to steal it. And this little girl, Johnny, and her friends, the Zooies, have to basically thwart those thieves and save the day.
I understand it was inspired by an adventure zoo in Kentucky.
Yeah, so there's a zoo called the Kentucky Down Under Zoo, and it my father had shot a movie there, and he thought, wow, what a great place, and he had talked to the owner, and said, you know what, I'd love to make a movie here, and the owner said, I'd love for you to make a movie here, and one thing led to another, and my dad said, zoos, animals. kids, those things all go together. Everybody loves those things. Let's write a script. And so he wrote a script with another gentleman named Ryan Liesky. and then they asked me to come on board, and I came on board, and I rewrote that script into something that I thought that I could do, and added a lot more action and adventure and a lot of twists and turns. And it's a really fun movie.
Garrett, how did Farai's film with his father Branscombe, how did it come your way?
It's really interesting, Simon. I was at the American Film Market in Santa Monica, and a friend had said, you have to meet Branscombe. And so I met Branscombe there, and he had this poster for Kangaroo Kids. And it just struck me that this would be the perfect feature-length movie to start with at Sunstream. So it's funny how it came about, but it was seeing a movie poster for Kangaroo Kids that led to the decision.
Mm-hmm. And what's been the reaction so far from viewers?
Very positive. Farai, you've been involved in Hawaii. A lot of Hawaiians have subscribed and watched the movie and really enjoyed it, correct?
Yeah, you know, it's been overwhelmingly positive, and I'm just so grateful. You know, I think it's kind of a hard movie to hate. It's really just the message through and through is it's just about love. And I think, you know, like Lionel Richie said, they asked Lionel Richie, hey, you know, how did you have 10 number one hits in 10 years? And he holds that record. And he said, because I make songs about love. You know, and that's really what the movie is about. It's just about love. So I think if anybody is watching it or anybody that watches it they're going to become attracted to it no matter what, just because it's just because of that exact point right there. And it's funny. It's got a little bit of everything. And, you know, it's the whole idea for the movie was to make a movie from the eyes of a child. You know, so that when children see it, they say, oh, I want to live in that world. And when adults see it, they say, oh, I remember what it was like to be a child. I love that time. And, you know, so the colors are a little bit more vivid. The sun is a little bit brighter. The trees are a little bit greener, and everything's a little bit bigger and taller and more fantastical. And that was it, just to create a world. A world of children and fantastical children world, and I think we did that, and I think people are responding to it, and a lot of people have been saying, you know, we've actually watched it like multiple times a day since Christmas, and we just have it playing sometimes because it's just sort of an easy movie to watch, and so that's been a real joy and honor, I think, for us to know that people just like having it on in their home.
Mm-hmm. Farai, Josephine Baez, I hope I have the last name spoke pronounced correctly. She is the lead role. How did you find her? I believe she's like a 13-year-old or in her teens, and she plays the heroine in this.
You know what? We owe all that to Garrett because, and honestly, I was super scared because my dad said, you know, we have to hire this girl as a lead, and I was like, oh, okay. And who is that, you know? And so Garrett brought her to the table, and I was scared at first, you know? And then I remember I met her on Zoom, and she, I don't think she had done any acting in a movie. She had done acting on plays and stuff. And I remember I met her and with her father, Miguel, and she was such a delight, and she was just so grateful and loving and really just positive. And then we did a chemistry test with her and Melissa, who plays her mom in the movie, Audrey. And I remember I almost collapsed during the Zoom call because she basically just nailed it out of the park. And I just said, holy crap, this thing's going to work. Like, it's going to work, you know, because, like, because she basically has to hold the whole movie on her shoulders, you know. She has to hold all the emotions. She doesn't really get a chance to, like, chew up the scenery a lot. Like the bad guys get a big chance to chew up the scenery. And pretty much everybody else can kind of, like, go off and do these weird antics. But Josephina's character has to stay sort of like, is like the emotional core of the entire movie. So she has to like almost like ride the emotions with the audience. And so what she feels is what the audience feels, right?
So,
and so,
so yeah. Here, can I tell the backstory, FireEye?
Yeah. Go for it, Derek. Sorry.
So the backstory is that Pina, Josefina, lived with us here in Reno for 5 months. She was an exchange student at a school. And, you know, I get up in the morning early and write, and she would come down into the kitchen and ask me about my writing, you know, because I write books and screenplays. And she goes, you know, if you ever make a movie, I want to be in it. And I love it when kids ask like that. And, you know, I saw her appear in a play in Santiago. She's from Chile. And I thought, this girl has it. And so I said, sure, Pina, if we make the movie, I will consider casting you. And then, you know, FireEye approved. And it just one thing led to another. But she's just a terrific little actress. And we really enjoyed having her in the movie.
Yeah. I believe we have a call, and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
I'm the very lost Branscom Richmond trying to get into
Hello,
you guys,
Branscom.
And I'm on the side of a volcano.
You.
I'm on the side of a volcano that is not erupting.
Well,
hi, how are you, everybody?
Let's keep hoping and praying that it does not erupt. You know, gods are listening, hopefully.
Perfect, because Kangaroo Kids is erupting for all the young people out there. They're loving the movie.
Well, Branscom, it's a pleasure to have you with us. And before you came on and your son Farai came on, we talked about Renegade. I remember the show, watched it regularly with Angel Lamas. And I understand that Kathleen Kinmont, who was the co-star with both of you on that series, she is also in this movie.
She's great in the movie. You know, we had a list of actresses to think about, and we all made the decision as a group to go with Kathleen. And, you know, sometimes you got to have the synergy all together in the same bottle to make magic, and that's what we had with Kathleen Kinmont.
Mm-hmm. Why did you decide, along with your son, to make this film?
I have done 10 movies prior to this movie in Kentucky, and I had worked at the zoo before. And when we were at the zoo, I said, boy, one day we got to do a movie with these kangaroos, because they're like puppies, and they're loving, and they eat out of your hand, and they want to engage. And no one's done a kangaroo movie like this to this date. So that's when we made a decision, as I was sitting doing another movie at the zoo, and I just started jotting things down, and that's why we made Kangaroo Kids. How can you go wrong when you've got animals and you've got kids and they're trying to all do the right thing, and as well as the adults making the decision to do the right thing?
We are talking about Sunstream. It is a subscription video on demand service available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. And one of their first original productions, Kangaroo Kids, that premiered last month. We have got the president of the service, Garrett Sutton. He joins us live from Reno, Nevada, and from Honolulu, Hawaii. We have got, and also near a volcano, I might add, we've got the father and son team that put the movie together, Branscom and Farai Richmond. And they're all with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Some I'm going to do live from New York. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Branscom, before I turn it back to Garrett to find out where Sunstream goes from here, any thoughts about, because of the feedback, turning your movie into a TV series?
Aha! Boy, you're thinking on the right line of things. First of all, next year makes 50 years for me in show business, according to the Screen Actors Guild. So, you know, I've learned a few things along the road, and it is perfect for a television series. Isn't it, Garrett?
Yes, Branscom.
So let me answer the question. Number one, we've got a slate of wonderful kid movies, and we also have they're all franchises. Let me say this. So when I was thinking about, listen, if you want to have longevity, I've been in this thing for 50 years, you have to have the idea of a franchise. So all our slate of films to go forward in the future are a slate that continues as a franchise. So the answer to your question, Kangaroo Kids, is a perfect plot to go along. And I've made a couple outlines on where it could go. It's all about Sunstream's vision as well. I've got a vision, Garrett's got a vision, and we kind of see where we're going to go. I'm very proud to say that Garrett made me chairman of the board of Sunstream, and I think my job is to go ahead and find where the people are and what they want and what they want to see. That is why I had my son direct Kangaroo Kids, because he thinks like the younger mind, and he wanted to put everything into this movie. And sometimes we have to not do everything, but we did most of them. So as we look forward in strategy and so forth and so on, we hope we can do – am I allowed to even say these things, Garrett? Am I allowed to say this?
You are. You're doing great, Branscombe. You can say it.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we got Kangaroo Christmas. We got Dinosaur Kids. We've got a show about puppies, which is three men and I won't even say it. Which the way I laid it all out was Mikey Kehoe and our Steve guy in Kentucky and myself. And we hope to be able to bring family fare to Sunstream, a place where, like my son said, you know, you turn it on, you let it go, and you leave it. But Sunstream's also going to have many, many, many opportunities to have other programming that may not just be family fare.
Well, that leads into our next.
What do you see as the vision going forward with your network in terms of? And by the way, we should point out that, as I said, it's a subscription service, and I understand it is $5.99 a month, $59.99 for a full year. What do you see in terms of original programming, whether it is family friendly or adult oriented? What do you see in terms of scripted, unscripted, specials, everything else?
Well, we're working on three documentaries. Oh, go ahead.
Well, we got two unscripted in the can right now. We got Scare the Freckles Right Off Your Face, which is a wonderful Johnny Carson-type talk show, but I don't want to give away the hook. We also doing a tribute to Stephen J. Cannell. That is the non-scripted. And then I'm going to let Garrett talk about the documentaries. Go.
Thank you. So we have three documentaries. Two are in the can. The one we're going to be releasing on Sunstream on January 27th is called Symphony of the Holocaust. And it's a very moving story of a family whose father was a virtuoso violinist, was caught up in the Nazi camps, and, you know, how they dealt with that. And it's about forgiveness and family. It's a really moving documentary. It will premiere at the Jewish Nevada Film Festival in Las Vegas on January 27th, as well as on Sunstream. We also have another documentary, a baseball nostalgia documentary that will be airing on opening day of Major League Baseball in March, called Max Patkin, the Clown Prince of Baseball. And it's just a great story about kind of this well-known character in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, Max Patkin, who was an entertainer in all the minor leagues for baseball. Our third documentary is filmed in Chile. It's called The Lost Grape. And it's about the Carmenere grape that was wiped out in the French wine blight in the 1870s, thought to be extinct, and was growing the whole time in Chile and is now their heritage signature grape. So we have some really great documentaries going, as well as with all these scripted shows that Branscombe and FireEye are putting together.
And are you hearing, by the way, from other producers, other series creators about getting involved with your network?
Not at the moment, but we're certain that that will come. We just launched December 4th.
Well, I've got a comment to that. Are you ready? My phone's ringing off the hook.
They're going to the chairman, not the president.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to, in the future, involve folks that are highly well-known in Hallmark as well as Lifetime and Up TV. And we're taking it nice and slow, but we're not taking it so slow where we're sleepy. the formula for most of us is that we want to bring what the folks want to see. I mean, $5.99 a month, that's less than a cup of coffee, for God's sakes. So there you have it.
And by the way, please let us know when the Stephen Cannell special comes on your service, because we definitely want to feature it. I was a big Stephen Cannell fan. For those who don't know, one of the great, great producing entrepreneurs and series creator entrepreneurs in television, Renegade was a Stephen Cannell production. He did one of my favorite shows, Late Night Soap Stalkings, which became a big on USA Network, The A-Team, you know, so on and so forth. You know, so many shows that were under his pen.
So many
Not
shows.
To mention The Rockford Files also, so which was his big start, and other things too. So please let us know, because we'd like to do a segment on it. Anyway,
well,
SunStream is the name of the service. It's available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. Again, it's a subscription service, $5.99 a month, $59.99 for a year. For more details about the service, go to www.sunstream.com. www.sunstream.com. And we will definitely be watching on the original programming coming up going forward. Garrett Sun, the president, thank you very much for joining us from Reno, Nevada. And Branscombe and Fry Richmond, thank you both very, very much for coming aboard from Honolulu. And I'm happy the volcano hung in there. And Branscombe, I was a big Renegade fan. I'm thrilled that you did this film. And all the very best to all three of you.
Thank you,
Simon.
Mahalo.
Take care. Aloha. All the greatest. Garrett Sun, the president of SunStream, and Branscombe and Farai Richmond from Kangaroo Kids, joining us live from Honolulu this half hour in the Marby Televised. Before we go, one more time, the classic trivia question. Who is the millionaire on The Millionaire? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win seven wonderful prizes, including the 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar. Back on Monday, our guest will be from Death and Other Details, the first Hulu scripted series of 2024, creator and showrunners Mike Weiss and Heidi Cole McAdams, and the creator and showrunner of Going Home, now in its second year, or second season, I should say, on Great American Pure Flix, Dan Merchant, who was first on this program 2 years ago on another Pure Flix program. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, including our first two episodes of this week, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also, go to our wonderful website from On Podium, tomorrowbetelevised.com, and our more than 40 great podcast platforms, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Acast, Odyssey, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and so many, many more. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our program today, and what's your thoughts about the future of television, especially going into CES 2024? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and extra Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. Extra Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. However you get involved with us, we get involved with you within 24 hours by communicating back. That's our promise, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio or Services Program. Andy Toe is BTR's General Manager of Sonnenberg, Head of Content. Website series by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Televised was brought to you today by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. And by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. For Tomorrow Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, and of course, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. Be here. Aloha.